Well, hello and welcome. Welcome back or welcome anew to the Further Faster podcast. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and I, of course, will be your guide, your host, and maybe even your mentor on this leg of your journey to do exactly what the title implies, and that is to go further faster in your life. And as always, we do these two things. Number one, bring you the best of the absolute best to show you, to give you some guidance, to give you some information, and even processes to help you go further faster. And number two, really do that, to give you some processes to make whatever I or my guests bring up a thing that comes up in your life and becomes natural to you. Now, today, I'm really excited about today, this gentleman I'm going to introduce you today and interview today, because if you have ever wondered what it's going to take for you to be successful, or around here what we call wealthy, healthy, happy, and financially abundant, you're going to absolutely love this man, Dr. Stephen Crawford. He is the author of the book, Too Stupid to Fail, Why the Resilient Will Always Beat the Intellect. So grab a pad and paper, something you can take some notes, and we will be right back with Dr. Stephen Crawford. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and I'm going to start off by saying this. Contrary to the title of his book, Too Stupid to Fail, Why the Resilient Always Beat, if you will, the Intellect, Dr. Stephen Crawford is anything but that. I'm going to read just a little bit. And by the way, here's his book. Those of you that are seeing me live, here's the book here. And I'm going to read just a little bit of this ridiculous amount of things, his accomplishments and what he does, just to share with you a little bit about the man to juxtapose the title of the book. Dr. Stephen Crawford obtained his undergraduate degree in urban studies from North Central University, as well as a master's in transformational leadership and a doctorate in global contextual leadership from Bethel University. He's the lead writer for urban studies, if you will, and the curriculum for the North Central University, which has been replicated internationally and nationally for several institutions. And he's taught at North Central for 5 years. This man is not stupid by any stretch of the imagination, but he wrote this book and it is fascinating to me. And so first off, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Further Faster, Dr. Crawford.
Thanks so much. Great to be on here with you, Joseph.
You as well, my friend. And also, I should share with everybody, Dr. Crawford is a dear friend as well as a business colleague. He is one of the lead instructors at the Neuro Encoding Institute and is changing lives all over the world. And he's going to share more about him and what he does as we get going. But I want to start off by saying this. Stephen, and you've seen it, I have this book on my bookshelf in my library, and I got hundreds of books there, and it is always facing forward. And inevitably, when anybody comes into my office, it's what they pass up my books and they go right to your book. And then when they open it up, they're reading through it because it's just such a remarkable book. And as they're reading it, as they're going through it, they've got one of these looks on their faces. For those of you that are just listening, I got a smirk on my face and their head is nodding. They're going, yeah, that's true. That kind of thing. So welcome to the podcast, as well as I want to ask you, what in God's name made you write a book and title it Too Stupid to Fail?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing is that, you know, most of us are just so intelligent, we can't succeed and we can't get out of our own way. And so, and that was true for me for most of my life. I think I grew up, I learned the rules. You know, you work hard, you go to school, you get an education, you do all these things, you follow the social niceties. We all live in this kind of social contract in which we come into agreement with one another on how we're going to behave. And primitively, there's a part of our brain that really, really reacts to being able to sustain the peace and to make sure that we stay in harmony, because many generations ago, it was dangerous to be kicked out of the tribe. Now, those social niceties are great for keeping us around, but they are terrible rules to live by for success. And I just had to get out of my own way at some point and just decide that all the people that I saw succeeding were not paying attention to all the rules that I was following, and they, I was getting mad at them, but I had to turn the tables on me and say, what's wrong with me? So embracing stupidity or a numbness or keenness of mind with what I had to do if I wanted to get out of my own way and start boring forward new pathways in order to succeed.
Well, fantastic. And you're so absolutely right. And most of us are unconscious to that. We're unconscious to the fact that we are affected by other people or the perceived opinions of other people as well. And, you know, what I really love about this book is its unbelievable simplicity. It's almost like you wrote this thing for me, because I often say to people, listen, consider me the dumb guy in the room. If you're going to, if I'm going to be in a discussion with people that I'm going to learn something from, I want you to treat me as though I don't know anything, because oftentimes things are way over people's head. What was your idea for writing a book like this? Because there's only three sections in here, the battle of the mind, or sorry, you call it the battle of the head, the battle of the heart, and the battle of the hands. Why did you make it so simple? Because you're such an intellectual guy. I love you. And this is so ridiculously simple. Anybody can get it.
Yeah. And that was one of the things. I think sometimes it's the intellect that, and the intelligence that gets in our way. And I know that for me, I was sitting at a car dealership. You know, I had a master's degree. I was in the first year of my doctoral program. And I'm sitting at a car dealership because I've moved back into the country from living in Costa Rica for a while. And I needed a job, and the economy wasn't the greatest at the time. And so I basically got a job at a car dealership, and the car dealer asked me, he says, why do you want to work here? I said, I don't, but I need a job. And so I was just being honest with him. And I'm sitting here struggling to go to work every day, hating everything I'm doing, knowing that I'm purposed and equipped in order to do much more than what I'm doing with my life. And I've got friends that dropped out of college. Some of them didn't even go to college, and they're making multi-millions of dollars. And I'm like, what's wrong with them? And what's wrong with me? Why am I sitting here in struggle when other people are excelling beyond anything I can imagine? And it really, really occurred to me that I had done too much time taking in information and not putting it out. And so the complexity of life was actually trapping me up, and I got caught in what we call analysis paralysis, being stuck in my own head. And it was time for me to break out. And so starting to write the book, really, I wasn't writing anybody else. You know, thank you, Joseph, for writing the foreword to the book, but I wasn't even writing to you. I was writing to me. I needed a simple role. Get me out of this stuck hellhole. Come on, somebody. Yeah, and I use a flashlight of driving out.
Yeah, I got that. And as I read the book, I looked at it, because a lot of these stories, if not the majority of these stories, are about you and experiences in your life as well, and the lessons that you've learned as well. And you're so right. I use that all the time with regard to the paralysis of analysis. I lived in that most of my life. And so, you know, let's talk about this, the battle of the head. Give us some examples of what people go through, the self-consciousness, the self-worth issues and things like that.
Yeah. When you think about it, most of us don't live life in uptime. We don't live life awake. Some of the top neurosurgeons and people that work in neuropathy and, you know, from neuropsychology, that most of us live about 2 hours tops per day in uptime, in awake time. The rest of our lives is driven and guided by patterns, by habits. The rest of our life is ingrained in us. And so the first
Tom, I'm sorry to cut you off. Explain what you mean by uptime.
Okay, so downtime is when you're just in habit formation. Basically, if you drive a car, you know what downtime is. It's like you're not even thinking. Right. You don't even pay attention to where you're going. You're just in downtime. You're actually just allowing life to drive you. Uptime is when you are actually alert, awake, you're mindful, conscious. You're aware of your circumstances, your situations, and you're conscious of what's happening around you. And that's why the first chapter in the Battle of the Head is about recognizing, being able to bring cognition and doing it again and again and again, and aligning yourself to break out of the haze that most people live in, which makes us easily persuaded by other people's opinions and other people's ideas.
spectacular. And as I said at the top of the show, one of the things that we always do, and that's what this book does, is it doesn't just talk about it and say, this is what it is. You actually give some examples and some things that people can do to, as you said, you know, we always say awareness is always the first step. If you're not aware that you're in downtime, that you're entranced, then listen, you're never going to break out of it. And nowadays, I'm sure you're going to agree with me, nowadays, it is so critical because we're so distracted by our cell phones, by social media, by everything that's out there, that it is triggering us to be in downtime all the time. And so that, to me, is one of the most important things. I like it that you started there. So again, give us another, maybe another example of how to break out of that, how to recognize that you're in it.
Well, the first things that we embrace, like you say, is awareness. You know, awareness is the first step to moving forward. But here's a challenge. We have to understand what we're doing to ourselves on a constant basis. I love the writings by Thomas Troward and other, you know, mental scientists from over 100 years ago. They put some ideas together, and he basically said that whether you do it unintentionally or accidentally, you're always creating. You're always creating your life. Because the essence of who we are as spirit, our intuition, our instinct is to create. And because we're always creating, if you're creating unintentionally, whatever hellhole you live in, that's what you've created. Congratulations. Yeah. You can't blame mom, dad, anybody else, voices, past, history, circumstances. You created what you're living in. And most people get offended by that. Says, well, how can you say that? I mean, there's so many poor people in war. There's so many people in war-torn countries. It is a creation of your own. Human beings were growth by law. And so we actually are creating all the time. And so a practical example is starting with the 1% of your day that you have control over and beginning to feed your mind with thoughts and ideas that will produce something different. Because if the creation of your life is just a result of the plant things that you planted in it, then why not plant new ideas, new thoughts consistently enough to start to break the pattern, to begin to change directions. And all of a sudden, that new feeding, that new thing that you're eating on, you're feeding your mind on, will begin to produce within you desires and drives in order to achieve different things. And when that happens, you want different results, and all of a sudden you're breaking through into new paths. But it takes consistency. Everybody wants to happen. We want it to happen in a day. No, it takes days. Yes. In order to make the thing work.
That is so beautiful, because you're so right. So said differently, the seeds that we planted 10, 15, 20 years ago are what we're living now. And to be able to plant those seeds now is going to determine what's going to come up. And the great part about it, and I think you outlined this in one of the chapters, said it several times, and that is that it doesn't take that long. In other words, if it took you 20, 30, 40, 50 years to get where you are right now, it's not going to take you that amount of time to make that kind of change, especially if you start implementing the things that you share here. Well, that is fantastic. And, you know, what you said before. Go ahead.
No, 100%. No, I mean, sometimes it's just a change of direction. Sometimes you're just going 100 miles per hour in the wrong direction. If you just change directions, you've already started the process of change.
Right. Perfect. And that direction sometimes is just a little direction. All right. So let's move on to the next section. And listeners, I'm telling you, it's only three big, or not, they're big. I mean, the book, look at the book. What is, how many pages we got here? 174, 175 pages. It's a really easy, real quick read. But what I promise you is when you read it, you're going to be doing, like I said, when people I see read it, and like I did, you're going to be going, oh, okay, yeah, that's right, that's right. And something to do about it. So let's talk about the battle of the heart.
Well, here's the thing. Most of us live, once you've been formed, once you've been shaped, and this is something now I'm going to steal from your world. Once you've been conditioned to live within a certain pattern of emotion. You know, most people don't realize this, but we're triggered either toward or away. We have two switches. We have a switch that moves us either toward or away from things. And the bulk of that is living in a realm of emotion. And if we would learn to practice the disciplines that really drive us forward, the first thing is releasing. Now, releasing has two aspects to it. Releasing as in being a giver, meaning you're able to give of yourself, that grows you. That's a growth element. The second element of of releasing is forgiving. That means things that have happened to you, you've got to be able to let go of. If you hold tight, it will cause you not to be able to walk in the freedom of releasing collaboration, creativity, innovation, and giving, and really becoming all that you can be, because you're holding on to so much stuff that you can't move forward. And you can sometimes move forward without advancing, or you can grow without advancing, but you can also advance without growing. And so releasing, advancing means you're able to grow by giving, but then moving forward also means you're able to forgive. And so you're not stuck in the past, you're able to move forward. And those two elements really is what it meant to release. And then the word, I love the word recreate or recreate, right? It means to create again, you know, and sometimes we need time in order to breathe, to take in and to enjoy the beauty of life, to really begin to recreate ourselves and do it again and again and again. And the third one is rejoice. We've got to have a pattern in our life of giving gratitude and celebration in order to really, really demonstrate and move further faster. See, I told you this was your chapter, Jones.
Well, first off, you're so right. And most people have such a hard time with that concept of forgiveness. Because I always say that people look at forgiveness as condoning. You know, if I forgive, then I condone what somebody did to me or what I did to myself in the past. And I love the saying that forgiveness really means you are forgiving up trying to change the past. Change the past and letting go of it means looking for, okay, that has happened. How can it, because, you know, it's a saying that we always use as well, is that it's never too late to have a happy childhood. You know, you can't change what happened in the past, but you could change how you feel about it. And that is, as soon as you do, as soon as you have that, and that is a release, like you said, as soon as you go, okay, and have another thought about it, then everything changes and you change the trajectory. And obviously, you know, we're certainly not going to doing this justice, because this is just a short podcast, and I'm going to recommend, obviously, everybody go out and get this book. Let's move into the third battle, and that is the battle of the hands. Tell us about that.
That's a huge element to being able to do anything, because as long as you have thought about it, for as much as you feel about it, if you do nothing, you will still be stuck at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You're going to stay right where you are. And so there has to be an invitation to do anything. And so, you know, this is probably more than in any place of the book, the reason I use the grammatical construct RE for every chapter. Re means to happen again. And so to re-engage means to engage again. It's assuming that you engage one time and you probably got hurt. You engage one time and you probably failed. You engaged another time and it didn't work out the way you wanted or where you planned it. And so there has to be this. It's not just, and I love this. This is something that Joseph teaches all the time, but it's not about action. It's about activity. It's not about doing it once. It's about doing it over and over and over and over again. And so the philosophy here is, if you will commit to never giving up until you win, that is the only recipe that's going to really change your life. So when we say the resilient will always beat the intelligent is going to stop after they get stuck. The resilient is going to keep on going and figure it out anyway. And then we've got refine, which is also that constant improvement of making ourselves better. And then remaining, you've got to have staying power, baby. You know, as many of you who are listening to Joseph's podcast knows, he's been on the stage longer than almost anybody. How do you have staying power? You got to keep standing. You got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, two things. Number one, I want to talk about that, because you yourself are an amazing speaker and presenter, and that's one of the things that you do at the Neuroencoding Institute. But I also wanted to talk about that whole concept of resilience with regard to keep going. I was saying, my dad used to say this. My dad would always tell us, he would go, listen, the amount of people who fail is directly proportionate to the amount of people who give up. And the amount of people who give up is directly proportional to the amount of people who fail. He said, just keep going. You didn't stop when you had to learn how to walk. You didn't stop when you didn't succeed the first time. You just got to keep going. And that this odds are stacked in your favor in doing that. And so I know, listen, we're running out a little bit out of time here, but I also want to point out that you are, as I said before, such an amazing speaker. You're such a dynamic speaker, and you have made the lives of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people better and helped them move forward as well. As well as you, as I said with everybody before, you are our lead instructor at the Neuroencoding Institute. and your business. Tell us a little bit about your business practices, because this isn't the only thing that you do is write books and run your mouth. I know that you have consulting and things like that. Tell us a little bit about that you do as well with your business.
Oh, absolutely. So we have a small firm, a small and mighty team of about six people that we do coaching, consulting, and training and development for companies, gratefully, all over the world. And the core of our business is just helping people figure out how to achieve their visions. Our dream is to watch other people's dreams come true, but we don't want to just limit it to companies that that just want to see making money as kind of their central objective. We really adopt and partner really well with missional companies and people that want to make a difference. They want to use business as a force for good in order to see the world different when they become incredibly successful. So our goal is to make them successful. Their goal is to do good within the world. And that partnership works out really, really, really well. And so that's one thing that we get to do. And sometimes we do it in training and development, sometimes just through consulting with people for over the long haul and long-term relationships. But ultimately, probably what I'm just really, really excited about is just really, really being able at this stage to allow our team to really, really take root and move forward and move some of these businesses faster. And I get to partner with people like you and join on stages like yours and begin to run my pie hole, as you say, and just lift up everything worked out. That's the fun part for me.
Yeah, well, it's fun for us as well. Well, listen, everybody, we're going to take a break real shortly. Take a short break. We'll be right back to tell you how you can enjoy more of the teachings and wisdom of Dr. Crawford. We'll be right back. Hey, you know, I get asked a lot of questions all the time, whether it's something, you know, online, whether social media or face-to-face. And the question I've been asked a lot lately is, Joseph, when are you going to do something live again? Because I haven't done anything live in some time. And my team and I sat down and thought about it. So we put together an event. And I'm happy to announce to you that on October the 29th through the 30th, 2022, in Las Vegas, Nevada, we're doing a live event called the Further Faster Conference. And this conference is going to be centered around your finances, how to make more money said differently. Now, obviously, we talk about wealthy being healthy, happy, and financially abundant, but this one's going to be around that because that is a subject that people should be talking about and doing something about right now. I'm going to bring some amazing guests, some of my mentors that are going to give you some of their wisdom as well as I'm going to teach you my signature methodology of putting $1 million in your pocket in 10 years or less. It'll blow you away. It is absolutely doable for everybody. So put that in your calendar, and more specifically, go to neuroencoding.com/FFC. It'll be in the description here. You'll be able to see it. Go there, get your questions answered. It's going to be a small, intimate event. So it's first come, first served. It will sell out. And I look forward to seeing you in there. And remember, life is exactly what you dare to make it. Fortune favors the bold. Boldly step up, and I'll see you in Las Vegas.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore a complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Well, welcome back. I am here with the amazing Dr. Stephen Crawford, author of the book, Too Stupid to Fail, Why the Resilient Will Always Beat the Intellect. And we've been talking quite a bit. And again, this book is such a jewel. I think it should be on everybody's shelf, even if it is just so people come by and go, hey, I need to have some of that. But all kidding aside, it is something that can make a huge and will make a huge difference in your life in using it. And one of the things we're talking about on the break is it's not just a book for you to read. Within it are tools, processes, and strategies for you to do so you get the results. And as Stephen said just before we went on break, we call that activity. Action is doing something once or twice or maybe even 5 or 10 times, but that's not going to get you the result. That's not going to build the muscle. What is going to get the result is doing something over and over. So share with us a little bit, Doctor, about the workbook that comes along with this and maybe some of the exercises that are in there to help people get those results.
Absolutely. So one of the things we thought was important to do, because I know that for me, I read books for years, and personal development, I've been a personal development junkie for over 20 years. So I love reading books. I love getting into it, but I would always be the type of person that would skip over the exercises. I would jump past them because I felt like getting the knowledge was enough to change my character. But thoughts get sown into your behavior. Your behavior produces your character, and your character produces your results. And so it can't just be something that you read. I don't want people to necessarily read this book. I want them to go through this book as a resource. And so we created the workbook in order to give people the ability to do that. And in the workbook, it basically gives you an opportunity to take notes and kind of share kind of what you thought and some of those things. Reflect. It's some reflection questions, some review questions, and then some action steps that we want to challenge you to commit to and take. Because if you don't take action, if you don't and build activity, I think that those thoughts will soon be fleeting and soon be fading. If you thought that the most successful people in the world had the most knowledge in the world, then professors of universities would probably be the wealthiest people on the planet.
No doubt.
But so we have this knowledge trap where we think knowing something changes character. And that's just not the case. If you can catch a thought, you can put it into your behavior. You can form it into a habit forming process where it becomes established within your character. You will produce that result. We are, as human beings, we are growths by law. We cannot alter that fact. You will produce it. And so we want to be able to equip people to be able to do it. And Joseph, I know that's the mission for you as well.
No doubt. And you and I both share this. We both taught university. I taught at UCLA for several years. And one of the things, and I know this about you as well, we're somewhat of what they call outliers in that field there. Meaning what you just said is true. The university professors they're great teachers. They're awesome teachers. And I always say that knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential power. You know, knowledge, we have a bunch of knowledge in this amazing device called our cell phones. So knowledge is just stored information. And if we're in the habit of just storing information and not doing what we say, you know, we always say you're teaching theory, if not. I had an interesting awakening, if you will, eye-opening event, if you will, or experience when I was at UCLA for the very first semester. and this is, as I look back on it, actually still gives me a little bit of the creeps. I was ostracized by the other professors because, you know, and this is before the internet, so that people could check you out and everything. But I didn't have my doctorate at the time. I had a master's, but I didn't have my doctorate at the time. And I was the only professor there that didn't have my doctorate. And so at first, that's why I thought they were ostracizing. When I say ostracizing, it was like in high school. You go to high school and the popular kids would eat over here and they wouldn't talk to you. And I kind of ate by myself. But come to find out, the reason they were ostracizing me, for lack of a better term, was because I was successful because I had a nice car, because I was, you know, living the life. And I didn't find that out until I asked one of the other professors. I said, what's going on here? You know, it's like I try to talk people blow me off like I'd slap their mother. And they said, well, you know, you seem to. And the way they put it, Stephen, was they said that you are not really a teacher because you are, you know, living in that life of wealth. And I thought to myself, really? Okay. And I don't want to be a teacher anymore. And I did. I went to the school and I said, you know, that was it. I taught the semester. And quite honestly, I did it because I thought it would look good on my resume. And it did. And I said, you know, I'm fine. This is one semester. But my class had done so well that they asked me to keep coming back. And I started doing extension courses. And so, you know, So say again.
I'm sorry. You didn't catch the vow of poverty that you were supposed to take when you signed up for academia.
Exactly. Exactly. So that point that you've made there that, catching a thought and turning it into action, turning it into activity, that's how you're going to get your results. And so I so respect you and appreciate you and respect and appreciate you, what you're doing for our community, the Neuro Encoding Institute, and what you're doing out there in the world as well. And just so you guys know, Dr. Crawford, he heads the he is our lead trainers at the Neuro Encoding Institute, where he teaches people the art and the skill of getting out there and, as we say, running our pie holes, getting out there and speaking. He's brilliant at doing it. So a couple things. First off, you know, we got to wrap this up, but where can they get this amazing book? Where would they go to get this amazing book? And how would they get a hold of you if they want to be in touch with you?
Oh, they can go to Amazon, Audible, anywhere that sells books, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere that sells books, they're going to be able to get access to the book. The workbook is actually only on Amazon. We only published it on Amazon, but they can access it anywhere. If you would like me to partner with you and share at your organization or anything like that, feel free to reach out to experienceleadership.com, and we'd be more than happy to connect with you, to follow up with you. Some of our team would jump on a call with you. And anytime you can give us permission to run our pie hole, we will gladly do it. that's just what we love to do. Or if you want to improve your speaking skills, we gladly take on clients in order to do that.
Spectacular. Well, Stephen, thank you. Thank you so much again for being on the Further Faster podcast. And everybody else, thank you so much for being here, lending us your energy and your time. We don't take that lightly. And in the spirit of what we just shared last, and that is, do something about it. Go out and get this book. Don't just get the book. Don't just read the book. Do what the book says, and you'll get results. You will go further faster. So I thank you. And as always, remember that life is exactly what you dare to make it. And fortune favors the bold. So the trick to life is to boldly step up and dare to make your life magnificent. I look forward to seeing you at the top. We're out.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers, and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.